6:40 on the ticket. We're going to jump into the action at Colonial over the weekend, coming up here in about 10 minutes. But first, a couple of bits of audio that I wanted to listen to. I was laughing about this all weekend long, and it was the start of our show on Friday. And, you know, we always do the, what if the traveler, the business traveler, is getting into his car at the airport, and he turns on the ticket because he's heard that this is an incredible sports station. It's the best sports station in America. And so he wants to hear hot sports opinions about the Cowboys or Colonial or the restart of the NBA or whatever. And he gets into his rental car on Friday morning at 6 a.m. and he turns on the ticket and he hears this and tell me that he isn't confused for the next 5 years.
What price point would you have to get to allow a loved one's remains to go to science like that?
Well, first of all, George, you shouldn't be in the business of selling your loved one's remains.
Well, I would never think about it, but if someone offered me like 1.3 for grandpa's remains, I may go,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd think maybe about it.
You would sell your grandpa's remains for $1 million.
Yes, I would.
1.3.
I would for a million. My price is a million.
Okay, so we got undercutters over here working against you, George.
The very strange discussion of the four-legged woman from Cleburne yesterday here on the show. Just past 6 o'clock.
I laughed about that all weekend because we played the little snippet from our previous show, and then George comes out of it with an explanation that made absolutely no sense.
Makes sense to me.
So that guy in his rental car is thinking, four-legged woman in Cleburne. I didn't hear anybody mention.
I heard grandpa.
I heard remains, but now he's telling me they were talking about a four-legged woman in Cleburne?
Cleburne.
Guess that was a bit of a jump there.
Oh, God.
Made sense to me, in my mind.
Well, it does in context, in the broader context.
Yeah.
When people narrow it down to just that frame, it just makes no sense.
Listening at that moment, if you did not hear the previous day's conversation, you would have thought, what? There's so many questions there. Wait a minute. There's a four-legged woman in Cleburne? Let's start there.
They were wasting time talking about grandpa's remains, but it sounds like they had a much bigger story.
Well, yeah, how did I miss this? Why isn't this the lead today? That there's a four-legged woman in Cleburne. The full story is she lived 100 years ago.
Yeah, she's not there anymore. She used to be there.
The fact that it was local, too, Cleburne.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a four-legged woman in Moscow would be huge news.
Right.
But it's right down the road, but yet he's telling me that, and they weren't talking about that.
Sure.
That, I think, is maybe the best guy gets in the rental car moment ever in ticket history. And how confusing that was. Let's listen to it one more time.
What price point would you have to get to allow a loved one's remains to go to science like that?
Well, first of all, George, you shouldn't be in the business of selling your loved one's remains.
Well, I would never think about it, but if someone offered me like 1.3 for grandpa's remains, I may go,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd think maybe about it.
You would sell your grandpa's remains for $1 million.
Yes, I would.
1.3.
I would for a million. My price is a million.
Okay, so we got undercutters over here working against you, George.
The very strange discussion of the four-legged woman from Cleburne yesterday here on the show.
Just past 6 o'clock here on the ticket.
Okay, that is weird. It's a weird jump, but that's not the craziest get in the rental car and listen. The topics that he's... What if the day before when that guy gets in and tunes in and we're introducing that segment. I mean, it's that. It's
but at least we're explaining it within
other,
the segment.
A million other times.
Oh, you're right. There have been a million other times. To me, that was just the weirdest didn't go together moment.
Yeah, not a sequitur.
Yeah, it was a jump for sure.
All right, and then this bit of audio I found funny. I'm going to predict Gordo will not find funny. I think George will, because George grandfathers all these guys in. I was watching an old Saturday Night Live that they aired at 9 p.m. on NBC. You know, they air some old episodes if somebody significant is a newsmaker. Well, Fred Willard passed away. So a couple of weeks ago, they aired a Fred Willard-hosted SNL from the late 70s. And on Weekend Update, hosted by Bill Murray and Jane Curtin, They have Dan Aykroyd on. And Dan Aykroyd is their station manager, and he's coming on to give an editorial about sports. And it's about cheerleaders on the NFL sidelines. And I thought it was well-delivered, as most of Dan Aykroyd's stuff was back in the day. I thought this was kind of funny, but I don't know. Is it dated now? Does it still hold up? You be the judge.
Thank you, Jane. Good evening. Well, it's football season again. We're right in the middle of it. And as usually, every team's crew of female cheerleaders are providing the same supportive histrionics from the sidelines. However, this year, there are less cheers and more leers. And it's the fans in the stands who do the leering at the girls who do the cheering, because this season, these cheerladies are more nudely, more lewdly, more crudely attired than ever. Now, I suppose a modicum of enthusiasm from the sidelines helps the morale of the team and supporters, and it's not the maintenance of team spirit I take issue with. Rather, I'm objecting to three specific elements of these cheerleading displays, and here they are from the ground up. One, vinyl boots. The nudity of a young woman's leg is more than enough. A skin-tight red or white vinyl boot provides the already natural, sensual shape of a woman's calf with a most unnecessary enhancement. Two, the gap. That is, the intentional use of tight-fitting short shorts as an engineering device to distinctly exaggerate the external perimeters of a female's vagina. The deliberate display of this vortex, in my mind, has nothing to do with football or any other sport. Three, the ripple or bounce. By this, I mean the consciously designed exposure of the upper mammalian carriage, an exposure at times so extensive that on particularly cold or windy days, the embossment of the small bumps surrounding the aureola is clearly visible through binoculars from any seat in the stadium. Can the game go on without the boots, the gap, and the ripple? I think so. So cover up, girls, or get off the field and let the boys play ball. This is Dan Aykroyd, strictly speaking. Thank you.
His delivery's always funny.
His delivery's great. Well written.
Yes.
I'll give that thumbs up.
The display of this vortex. All right, I thought that was appropriate to play since we are an all-sports station.
Indeed.
So there you go. Fun with funny audio.
I like it. 6:47 on the ticket.